This study of Moses is a it's got a lesson for everybody that's here this morning. You know, as we talked about Moses, I think we get a picture of Moses as this big, handsome, young-looking man that's all buff and tan, and his hair is all fixed up from the movies on TV, but I think we get him pictured in our mind as a totally different character than what he was in the Bible. And as we got to that one point where Moses said, here am I, Moses had finally came to a point in his life where he said that here am I, take me and use me. And I believe it took that 40 years in the desert for him to be able to come to that point in his life. And there's so many times in our lives today that we are the same way, that we have to God has to use things in our lives to mold us and shape us into what he wants us to be. And I'm not saying that every bad thing that happens to you in life, God creates that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying he will take those bad things that happen to you in your life and use you, and he's using those to draw you closer to him. You know, I can look back on my life and some of the things that happened to me before I got my heart right with the Lord, and I couldn't see it back then. But as looking back on my life, I can see things that happened over and over again where God tried to use those circumstances. He tried to use people. He tried to use events in my life to draw me to him. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this scripture this morning and look at it. We're going to look at, let's start back where we, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. I titled this morning, Things Happen. I think lots of times when we get to looking in our lives, that's what we get to thinking. We get to thinking about our lives like that things just happen. Things happen. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the what? Desert. Desert. How many times in our lives do we find our spiritual life in a desert? The Hebrew word for desert is, I believe I can pronounce it right, is medabar, and it comes from the word debar, meaning to speak. I thought that was very interesting when I looked that up, and it means meaning to speak. So the desert is a place where God speaks, where he communicates some of his most important messages to us. You know why that is? Because a lot of times we have to be in that desert before we will come to a place where we will truly listen to him. We're going through life thinking things are just happening and we're just unlucky or just it's luck, but it's not luck. When it comes to a Christian, we're not lucky, we're blessed. Now I want to jump forward just a little bit and look at some scripture here in Deuteronomy. Remember when I started preaching, I couldn't even say that word. So we've placed Deuteronomy 32 verse 10. Now this is the song of Moses. This is what he's writing to the Levites and the priests. Now this is before the end of Moses' life here and before they go into the Israelite people into the promised land. 32 verse 10, the scripture reads, he found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about. He instructed him and he kept him as the apple of his eye. I want to point out that the he in that is God. When it says the word he found him. In other words, God found him. And the him is talking about is the Israelite people or the Jews. And I want to personalize that this morning. This is very powerful when you do this. Put your name in the place of where it says the word him. In other words, God found you in a desert land. And in the waste, howling wilderness, God led you about. He instructed you. He kept you as the apple of his eye. The howling waste of a wilderness. You know, there's so many times that's the only place that we're going to listen to God. When we come to that waste of a wilderness. When you think that there's you're at the bottom of your life, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, but when we're there at that point in our life, God does four things. And if you'll read this through like out of the NIV and different interpretations. Well, it brings on a whole lot of meaning, and I'm going to just share a few of them with you this morning. But God does four things when we're in this waste, howling wilderness. He encircles us, or he leads us. He instructs us, or he cares for us. And it says, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. And one, I think it's the NIV, says he guards us as the pupil of his eye. He keeps us. You know what? You stop and think about that. The pupil of your eye is one of the most important parts of your body. I mean, it's the most protected part of your body. When you get just the least little bit of grit in there, what do? We want to get it out. It irritates it. And we want to get rid of it. It has a shield that your eyelid protects it, and even the tiniest speck gets in there, we instantly want to get rid of it. He kept him as the apple of his eye, or he guards us as the pupil of his eye. Think about that. The things that have happened to you in your life, in your past, maybe what's going on in your life right now. In the desert, you are the pupil of God's eye. He's been caring for you more than at any other time of your life. Let's look at verse, same chapter, 32, Deuteronomy 32, 11. And 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. You're the pupil of God's eye. You're special to God. He guides us and he leads us. See, there's lots of times in our life that whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not, or whether we believe it or not, God has not taken his hand off of your life. You need to realize that this morning. Just because you don't feel it, and you may not even believe it, but the Scripture tells us that God cares for you and he's got his hand on your life. Amen? You know, there's so many times, like I said before, in my past that I can look back and I can see it now, and even at those times that I didn't feel it and I didn't believe it, I can look back now and I can see it. Why? Because that's one of God's promises. And God keeps his promises. And just because that we don't feel it does not mean that it's not true. So whether you know it or not, whether you felt it or not, or whether you believe it or not, God has not taken his hand off of your life. Look at verse 12. Look at that one word there. So the Lord alone. That word really jumped out at me when I read that. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. I believe there's a doorway. He's acting like your grandpa, isn't he? I believe there's a doorway into every desert. Into every part of your life where you go into that desert, there's got to be something that starts that process in your life that I would call the doorway into that desert. Just think about it for a moment. Moses here from age 40 to 80 was in the desert. And lots of times in our lives, that's where we find ourselves in the desert. It don't have to be when you're a teenager struggling with things. You can be a young adult, but it can also be someone that's between 40 and 80. You find yourselves all of a sudden in a desert. Maybe it's all of a sudden you go to the doctor for a checkup, and they tell you that there's a spot on your lung, a spot on your brain. Maybe you come with some rare disease. All of a sudden you find yourself in a desert. Maybe you can be even someone that is single. You've been looking for someone to marry, and you keep thinking that God's going to bring someone into your life, and yet you keep going through month after month and you're still single. Maybe it's someone here this morning that doorway into the desert is maybe trouble in their marriage. Maybe a spouse that has been unfaithful. Maybe it's just turmoil in a marriage. Maybe you're here this morning and that doorway into the desert is from where you have lost a spouse, where you have lost a loved one, where they have died and gone on. Maybe that was your doorway into the desert. But whatever your emotions are telling you this morning, the Bible says that you are not alone. It does say that the Lord alone did lead him. That Lord alone will lead you. He encircles you. He cares for you. He guards you. You haven't left him, and neither has he left you. You're the apple of his eye. I want to look back at what Moses told the Israelites as they were about to enter the promised land. Let's back up to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." So why does God lead us through these desert places? That scripture right there, Moses said, to humble us. To humble us and to test us. and to prove thee to know what was in thy heart. You know, when I first read that, I thought, oh, I see, yeah, he humbles us, and he's putting us through this test, and he's doing it to get to know us. Is that what that says? No. It says he uses it to humble us and test us, but not to know us. He already knows who we are. He knows each one of us, and he knows the true condition of your heart. So what does that mean? To prove thee to know what was in thine heart. It's not that God might come to know you, but that you'll come to know yourself. That you'll come to realize the true condition of your heart. And that will humble us. And that will test us. God already knows the condition of your heart. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. Remember, things happen. Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now remember where Moses was? Verse 1 told us that he was on the backside of the desert. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Notice in I want to read on, verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Notice the word there in verse 4, and when. That word when connects those two verses 3 and 4. In other words, when means at the same time. When did God speak to Moses? When did God speak to Moses? It tells us, he said, when I will turn aside and see this great sight. God is speaking to you. What's it going to take for you to be like Moses here and just to take time to stop and listen to what God is trying to tell you? What God is trying to show you. What is it going to take for you to be like Moses to say, here am I? That's all God wants to hear. You realize that? That's all God wants to hear from you. He does not want your resume. He does not want to know that you can do this or that you can do that or that you can't do this. All he wants to do is for you to come humbly before him and say, here am I. I'm yours, Lord. Take me and use me. Let's read a little further, verse 5. Jesus had said, here am I. He didn't start saying, look how qualified I am. Look, I can do this, I can do that. He just says, here I am. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh either, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Now that's God talking there. Remember that he said, the place where I'm standing is holy ground. What does the word holy means to be separated. And that's what God was telling him, I believe, here, to just separate himself from the past. That he wanted his undivided attention. And for him to stand still and listen to what I'm going to tell you. So I want you to think about that experience that Moses had, that bush that caught his, and think about your past and the things that's happened to you in your life that maybe God was trying to get your attention. And remember, I'm not saying that if it's something bad that God caused it to happen to you, but I'm saying that God is using that to try to draw you to Him. Things don't just happen. There is a God-arranged plan for your life. God has a certain plan for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if it's an ordinary day or an extraordinary moment. There is a God who constantly seeks you. And there's so many times in our lives that we miss things where God is trying to get our attention. And in this scripture, he tells him to separate himself, to pull off his shoes, for this place where thou standest is holy ground. I want to share just a few thoughts and we're going to close. And I probably already said this before, but I got to say it again. I always thought that the bush here was holy. I always thought that it was the bush that was holy, because God was in the bush speaking. But it tells us in that scripture there that the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. That event that is happening to you in your life right now or in the past, that was what was holy. The bush doesn't become holy until you hear God speaking to you. It's like verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God. What do you think flashed through his mind when this happened? I believe that he would be just like any of the rest of us. His past would be the first thing that would flash through his mind. Isn't that what usually happens? And it's at that point that he humbled himself before God. He knew that he was unworthy, but it was only at that point in time, after going through that desert, that God could use him. Because see, before he thought he had all these qualifications. He thought he was this special kind of leader that God was going to use mightily. But until he came to a point in his life where he would humble himself and say that I don't care, God, I can't do this or I can't do that, but I am yours, here I am, take my life and use it. That's when God used him in a mighty way. Things don't just happen. If you find yourself in a situation in life, seems unfair. Maybe your family life, maybe boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe something physical's happened to you. Emotional, spiritual. You know, because see, when it's happening to us, it's worse, isn't it? Come on, be serious. When it's happening to you, it's worse than it is when it's happening to somebody else. So if you find yourself in a situation that is, you think is totally unfair, it's harsh, and it's hard to handle. Maybe it's a separation, maybe a divorce, and or whatever it is, and your heart is aching. I mean, from the very soul of your heart and your mind, you're aching on the inside. So look at what verse 7 and 8 says. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Whatever situation you're going through this morning, I want you to realize that in that scripture, it tells us, it says, my people. We can personalize that. We are God's people. We are called God's people. And he says, I have seen. And he says, I have given heed to their cry. And I'm aware of your suffering. And he says, I've come down to deliver. And this scripture this morning is telling you that he says, I have a plan for you. I know what's going on in your life. I've seen. I've heard your cries. I've heard your soul cry out. And I've seen your suffering. And he says, I've come down to deliver you. All he wants you to do is trust him. I want to share one final scripture with you. It's another promise God made to, that he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know the God of Jeremiah? He's the same God we serve today. Amen? That God of Jeremiah, he still lives. He still cares, and he still delivers. All you got to do is cry out and humble yourself before him.